is the new sound of the underground, a band called the Arctic Monkeys that I think you're going to be hearing a lot more from in the weeks to come.
They're the biggest band of the 80s.
This is Adam and Joe, here with the latest sounds and the latest music news sounds on Six Music, home of news, music and sound.
Happy Saturday, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It's the first exciting hour of our three-hour Saturday morning extravaganza. And have we got news for you was on last week.
Yeah.
It was a confusing sentence. It got derailed in the middle.
Because
have we got features for you?
This is good, man. We're off to a good start.
Thanks.
This is slick.
We're going to be revealing the winner of Song Wars. Last week's Song Wars. Was it last week?
2 weeks back.
Christmas has confused everything.
2 weeks back. This is our Christmas Song Wars from 2 weeks back that we played you. Last week, of course, was our Christmas show where Joe and myself gave each other presents. What a time that was. I don't think any of us will ever forget that. But now we're in that strange hinterland between Christmas and New Year. More or less right slap back in, bang. My brain is no longer working. It's more or less shut down for the Christmas holiday.
Well, there's plenty of good stuff coming, listeners, believe us. But for now, let's have some, a bowl of lovely warm pumpkin soup.
Mm, delicious.
Mm, with Kate Nash floating around in it like a sort of crouton.
Kate Nash with Pumpkin Soup. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. We should tell you, listeners, that this show is not actually live. So please do not email us or text us, as we're not currently here. This show is pre-recorded because at the moment we're in Lapland.
Are we?
Yeah.
What are we doing in Lapland?
We are talking to Santa. We're counselling him. He's been very depressed.
Well, he's had a tough time the past week or so.
Yeah. And we're his kind of emotional support team.
What's the matter with him?
He's just very sad because...
Why?
Well, he can't get to absolutely everybody that he wants to get to with the toys. There's a lot of sadness in the world, a lot of areas that are war-torn, and he can't do anything about that. He feels that, you know, just handing out toys, that's just like putting a Band-Aid on the problem. It's not really a long-term solution. So we're trying to chat to him about those issues and
right.
get some perspective.
He's upset that the world's gone PC crazy.
He thinks it's gone PC crazy. You know, it's just PC gone mad as far as he's concerned a lot of the time. You know, there's...
He should read the papers less, that Santa.
Yeah. Because he made some comments about some minorities as well, which have got him into hot water. So we're trying to dig him out.
What are you talking about?
They made some comments about some of the elves, and now he's being branded a racist. Sounded as if I was working my way up to a joke there, some kind of punchline, but
no.
Nothing could have been further from the truth.
So listen, listeners, all over Christmas you've been voting in the big Song Wars Christmas song fight-off. Adam and I composed a Christmas song each. They were two of the most powerful songs ever recorded in under 3 hours.
They were certainly two of the best Christmas songs ever recorded.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, yes. They were, but almost.
Have you worked that out?
I've worked that out because they're pretty much at the bottom of the list, with all other Christmas songs above.
Oh, so the Christmas song top 10 is just a flat line, it's a straight line.
Well, the list of the best Christmas songs ever written includes all the Christmas songs ever written.
Right.
And so we're technically in that.
Okay.
But very near the bottom.
Okay, I'm confused, but all will be made clear in terms of who won that fight.
Oh my lord!
In a second, when I open the results.
Just to remind you, listeners, they were very different in style. I went for a kind of a Christmas. In fact, my song was called "Christmas Country Party Time." We're not going to play you clips because it'll just bring back painful memories. And Joe's, what was yours like?
Mine was. It's hard to describe the musical genre, but it was a kind of George Formby, like hard house. Combo about shopping at an all-night garage on Christmas Eve, getting your presents on Christmas Eve.
All-night garage, Christmas Eve.
See, you remember it.
I do remember.
Do I remember yours?
Go on, then.
Bang, 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 bang. Christmas.
That was it.
Germaline, Christmas.
That's the one.
Like that.
Catchy. It's catchy.
Yeah. Are we going to do the results now, or should we spin it out? If Simon Cowell was producing this show, he'd spin it out.
He'd spin it out for another 2 hours.
He'd play another record.
If Ant and Dec were announcing it, there'd be a one-hour gap between us saying, and the winner is, and then the actual winner.
It's true.
So, in that spirit, I think we should play some more music. What have we got coming up?
James Brown.
Listening-wise. I chose this one for you, listeners. I thought this is a nice little seasonal nugget, you know, because it's still sort of seasonal, even though it's after Christmas now and it's tainted with the stink of the new year. But this is a lovely mellow song from the early days of James Brown. I think maybe even with his famous Flames. But it's called Maybe the Last Time. Enjoy.
Maybe the last time. Maybe the last time.
Well, that's very spiritual stuff there. That's the Soul Savers with Revival, and before the trail you heard my selection for you, which was James Brown with Maybe the Last Time. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and now...
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs, a couple of tunes by a couple of prongs, so check it out.
Yes, it's time to reveal the winner of the pre-Christmas Song Wars. Adam and I wrote Christmas songs and battled them against each other, kind of like battling Beatles... Yeah?
No, more like Transformers.
More like Transformers, bashing each other up down a New York street with Shibalabeth holding some kind of a cube, skidding around the place.
I still haven't seen that film, you know.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
What'll happen if I just never see it?
Nothing.
Oh. It'll
be a tiny bit of your brain will be active.
Good one.
That no one else in the world will have access to. Here we go. So here's the winner. I'm opening the envelope with the stats in, represented in percentage to save the blushes, you know.
Yeah, because only producers,
three people
will
usually
have voted.
I'm afraid it's a landslide for Cornish.
Oh, no.
Adam, 29%. Joe, 71. What does that make the overall score, I wonder? We'll get someone in the
I believe you've won six times and I've won twice.
Yeah, but you know what? I think your two winning ones... are two of the best songs ever.
Oh, well, James Rohan, that was one of my winning ones. I didn't really like that one. It wasn't one of my favourites.
Sometimes an artist doesn't like his own best work.
Maybe.
Yeah, look at George Lucas with the Star Wars.
It's my creep. You know what
is
I mean?
Is it? Do Hector Radiohead not like creep?
Not really. I mean, you know, they sort of have an affection for it, but it's a millstone around their necks, you know?
Well, let's hear the winning song. This is called All Night Garage, and this is about a kind of moment in time that is past now and you don't have to worry about until next year, but it's about when you panic on Christmas Eve about buying prezzies, which is completely evident from the words.
29%.
Yeah, bad luck,
mate. I can't believe it.
Stay strong.
What? Oh, no. It's 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve and I ain't bought no presents yet. What am I going to do? I'll have to go down to the all-night garage.
All-night garage, all-night garage. Christmas shopping at the all-night garage.
Raining on Christmas Day, she can't complain.
All night garage, Christmas shopping at the all night garage. All night garage, Christmas shopping at the all night garage.
Merry Christmas and the Mag Max Power. If you don't want us cars in your mum likes stars.
Do me a favour, I'm not that crap. I better take that new AA Roadmap, that Kinder Egg and them cigarette lighters, a Toblerone and those windscreen
wipers. Hello, bloody hell. And excuse me, but I'm glad I'm not part of your family.
I know it might seem like I'm a loser, but on Christmas Eve, not much time.
Let's see, that all comes to $69.99.
All night garage, all night garage, Christmas shopping at the all night garage. All night garage, all night garage, Christmas shopping at the all night garage.
Listen, mate, I've got to go.
Oh, yeah.
Put everything on my stride.
Yeah, sorry, girl, the machine's gone down, but there's a cash machine if you drive into town.
At times like this, I can't help but feel I wish Santa Claus was really real. I ask myself, what would Jesus do? Perhaps he'd give his dad an old bottle of booze from the cupboard. Forget the windscreen wipers, mate.
Christmas shopping at the all night garage, all night garage, all night garage. Christmas shopping at the all night garage.
Joe, what's this you got me? Delta Force 2 and a cigarette lighter. Oh, thank you, shouldn't have.
Oh, my lord, is the play over yet?
You're so jealous.
Is it finally finished?
Yeah, it finished. A long time.
Is anyone still awake?
It just seemed to last a long time because one inhabits it so.
So you know the competition is called Song Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You're supposed to write a song.
Yeah.
With like verses, choruses, and you know, just.
Yeah. That had a verse and a chorus?
Not really.
The chorus went, All Night Garage, All Night Garage. That's a chorus, it's a chant.
It's not a chorus compared to Christmas, Christmas, Christmas time, Christmas.
Can't remember. I think they're actually they're identical.
I've just answered my own case there.
There you go. That's it for Song Wars this week. We'll be doing more Song Wars next week. But for the moment, for everybody's sanity, we're going to take a bit of a break from the thing. But when we do our next show, we're going to try and kind of branch out a bit subject-wise.
Yeah.
We're going to go, one of our ideas, listeners, I don't know what you think of this, is to do ringtones.
Uh-huh.
We're going to compose a ringtone each, and that way, we're just trying to think of ways we can make genuine money.
Right.
You know, there's the idea of releasing some sort of a Song Wars album.
Yeah.
But I think the only way that'll happen is if it's for comic relief.
Right, or the whole world
sort of a joke.
Suddenly goes deaf or something.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So ringtones is a good option, don't you think? To raise some money, I write a ringtone. We try and make them as insanely catchy as possible.
Yeah.
Like the Crazy Frog. Or T2 featuring Jody.
It's easier said than done, though, man. You know, I mean, everyone's at that game.
Do you think?
Yeah, surely.
Well, we've talked about it a lot. We've never actually nailed our colours to the mast and tried to do it.
Maybe we should try it.
So that's what we're going to do. If you've got any suggestions for themes or content of Song Wars, do email us, adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk.
Now, here is one of Joe's favourite bands.
Yeah, who?
Because you love Nina Persson from the Cardigans.
Yes.
You love that band.
Nina Persson.
That's what she's called.
I know.
And do you remember the band
yeah.
and all the songs they've done?
Oh, yeah.
Here's one of them.
I'm just remembering now.
Carnival by the Cardigans.
What?
There you go, that was the Cardigans with Carnival. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Just a reminder, folks, that this show has been pre-recorded for your listening pleasure. So apologies if that makes you feel as if it's kind of less fun. Does it bum you out if someone's pre-recorded something?
Well, sometimes the live experience is more unifying. It's something called the common consciousness.
Right.
Every living creature is existing at the same time under the same sun. And if we share things communally, there can be an unspoken bond between us. You know what I mean?
A bomb?
A bomb. An unspoken bond.
Well, that's disastrous.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a good thing we're pre-recorded.
It's much safer. Phew. So I was just mentioning that so that you don't text or email us if you require an immediate response, listeners, because I wouldn't want you to feel cheated. Because if that happened, we could all be put in jail for a very long time.
Yes, indeed. Now, one of the most exciting things that I've read on the internet this week that probably every other radio show in the world has done, but never mind, we'll do it too, is the Onion's link of, Onion's, kind of, sum-upness, what's that word?
Overview?
Rundown of the worst band names of the year.
Yeah.
You ready for some of them?
Go on then, hit me.
They've gone through the whole of the internet, I think, and every music magazine and kind of picked out the most stupid names.
Yeah.
One of them is Gay Baby.
Gay Baby?
Mm.
Is that worse than Gay Dad?
I think so.
Yeah, I guess it's
seeing
more
as Gay Dad already existed.
It's more distasteful, isn't it?
It's not fair on the baby. And one more before we have to go to the news?
Well, maybe we can hear some of these after the news.
Okay.
But hit me with one more right now as a tease straight into the news.
Harmonica Lewinsky.
I love that. Here's news.
On digital radio and online. BBC Six Music.
Boy killed by pet dog.
That was the Kinks with Tired of Waiting for You. Before that, you heard the Chemical Brothers with the Flaming Lips with a track called The Golden Path. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Hello.
Hey. Are you talking to me?
Yeah, not really.
Oh.
The listeners. Everybody.
Hey, how you doing, listeners? Are you enjoying yourselves? This can sometimes be a stressful time because it's right in the middle, just between Christmas and New Year. Whatever happens, you know, maybe you're going to take it easy on New Year. Me and Joe are definitely, we're going to sit back, relax, and just be nice and mellow about it. But some people feel they have to push the boat out.
Domestic abuse triples over Christmas. Did you know that?
That's a really fun fact. Well, it's booze, isn't it? That's the deadly booze.
It's the booze.
Yeah, of course.
Cut down on the booze.
Booze is a disaster
area. It's a disaster area. Look at you.
Look at me, yeah.
You know?
Shadow of my former self.
So just before that double whammy of great tracks, we were borrowing material shamelessly from the Onion AV website, who've compiled a list of the worst band names of the year. I managed to squeeze one out, but now here are the rest of them.
That's nice.
That's really pathetic kind of breakfast show innuendo kind of thing. Here we go. So how about some more? You ready for some more, Adam?
Yes, please.
Would you buy an album by a band called Yo Mama's Big Fat Booty Band?
Yes, I definitely would. I'd be delighted with that.
Would you buy an album by a band called Shout Out 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 Out?
No. How many outs?
Four.
That's awful.
Shout Out 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 Out.
No, I definitely wouldn't. There used to be a band called On 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 as well.
Ah, did you buy an album by them?
No, I think I knew someone who was in the band. And okay. I remember them telling me the name and being very excited about it. And I was thinking, oh dear.
Okay, would you buy an album by a band called Baboon Torture Division?
Well, you know, that's to me, that doesn't sound much worse than the Arctic Monkeys.
They're probably animal activists, aren't they, don't you think?
No, they hate baboons.
Baboon Torture Division?
Yeah.
Do you think?
They're in charge of the Torture Division.
Well, how does that follow up with the logic of Joy Division? I mean, Joy Division didn't approve of the activities of the Joy Division. They were cruelly and darkly satirising them. So I say the same logic applies to Baboon Torture Division.
I'm not aware of an actual existing Baboon Torture Division, though.
Really?
In a way that there was a
I'll do some internet research.
Right.
I'll get you some info. What about Sex Rat? Penguins with shotguns.
That's terrible. Sex Rat, I can live with. Penguins with shotguns.
What about Dance Me Pregnant?
These are real bands.
Yes.
I quite like Dance Me Pregnant.
You see, it's hard to tell whether they're purposely bad, you know?
Yeah.
So many layers of irony. What about the house that Gloria Vanderbilt?
No, that's useless.
What about Neil Diamond Phillips? You quite like that one. You're having to think about that a bit. It's confused you.
Neil Diamond Phillips. No, I don't get that.
Lou Diamond Phillips and Neil Diamond.
Oh, that's useless.
Yeah.
That's rubbish.
What about?
I liked the one that we can't actually say the whole name on the air, but it's the effing unicorns.
Yeah. It only really works if you're allowed to say the bad word.
There's a lot of bands coming out with the F word actually in the name of the band or stuff like that. And you sort of think, what's... I mean, obviously, it's a gesture.
Mm.
It's a kind of anti-establishment gesture. They don't care if they're, you know, not mentioned or played on the radio or whatever. That's part of their stance, right? You would think.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, it's counterproductive because I can't think of any really successful bands with the F-bomb in their name.
No. It's counterproductive, exactly. It stops you selling records. It's a rude word.
Yeah. Surely the aim of the game is to get your stuff out there and get it heard. You know, what's the point of forming a band and rehearsing and doing gigs and stuff if no one's ever going to listen to you?
All right, bands.
Seems a bit insane. So think about it. That's what I'm saying, kids, all right? It might seem clever and funny to drop the F-bomb in the name of the band there, but it ultimately, you'll regret it.
Here's the Specials with Monkey Man. Hooray, that was the Specials with Monkey Man. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music on this special inter-Christmas and New Year Saturday.
It sounded as if you rechristened the station BBC Six Music on.
Yeah, that's what it'll be called in the future.
Yeah.
When everything has the word con on the end.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Six Music on with Joe Con and Adam Con.
Adam Con.
It's not quite so good. If you were listening a couple of weeks ago, friends, then you might recall I was just on my way to go and see Tintin, the theatre production of Tintin in Tibet with my young sons, and I have to report to you that I enjoyed myself greatly. It was fun. If you get the opportunity, you should catch it. You still haven't seen it, have you, Joe?
What, the stage production of Tintin?
Yeah.
No.
When was the last time you went to the theatre?
Do you think people should be going around sort of in anguish that they haven't caught Tintin?
Well, yeah, because...
Yeah, was it that good?
It's really good, yeah.
It's really good.
Unusually good, I would say. I'm not a massive theatre fan.
No.
Because I get very uncomfortable.
You're too clever for the theatre.
Am I?
Yeah. I just think you have a quick-wittedness and a love of drama that just supersedes theatre.
Why? There was no need for you to go in there and start being sarcastic from nowhere.
I don't know. I think there was a certain medical need.
Right. Anyway.
I'm only joking, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But listen, folks, it was really good. But by stark contrast, the next day we went to the Panto. And maybe I shouldn't say the panto that we saw, just because I don't want to be negative, especially as I knew.
Well, you could, I mean, pantos are generally generic, so you can tell us the story that was the fairy story that was unfolding without revealing the specific production, right? Can't you?
Maybe.
Was it Jack and the Beanstalk? Was it Cinderella? Was it Snow White? It was Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. There are millions of productions of Jack and the Beanstalk. Well, who was the star?
Well, I should say from the get-go that it went down very well with the audience, though. We went to see it at the Barbican Centre in London.
Well, that's that there now.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying that I'm identifying it now.
Right.
But everybody loved it. It was just me and my family that had a problem with it. But mainly the problem was it was so long. Why do they have to be so long?
It's important to be true to the facts of Jack and the Beanstalk.
No, well, what are the facts of Jack and the Beanstalk? Tell me the whole story right now. I bet you could do it in under 10 seconds.
Jack and the Beanstalk by J.M. Cornish. Once upon a time, Jack got some seeds and he put them in the ground. They were from a fairy or maybe a witch. And he put them in the ground and then a tree grew and he climbs up and at the top, no, a vine. A beanstalk grows up and it goes above the clouds and he climbs up it and at the top there's a giant.
Yes.
And he hides on the table. And then, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's a car chase. He kisses the scullery maid. There's some business with the Louvre and Tom Hanks. And then eventually the giant becomes nice and comes down to Earth and they all live happily ever after. Oh, no, hang on. Someone chops the beanstalk down.
Yeah.
Before the dragon can chase Cinderella.
That's basically it. Yeah. That's more or less it. Well, that was longer than I expected the summary to be, but that was still less than a couple of minutes.
Right.
The one I saw was 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Two and a half hours. I'm not sure exactly how long the interval was because we left them.
No.
Yes.
Did the kids want to go?
Well, yes. They wanted to go before it started.
They're the ultimate arbiters.
The worst thing was that we got bad seats. I mean, we were unlucky with the seats. We were stuck there in the very back row of the circle, like the uppermost part of the theatre.
So the furthest back you could possibly be.
Furthest back, and right in the middle of a very long, thin row from which there was absolutely no escape.
You know what I mean? That.
I absolutely hate that. I can't bear it. So I felt very claustrophobic. It was incredibly hot in the theatre. And it lasted ages. The children were squirming around and saying, "Daddy, when's it going to start?" Like a good 20 minutes before the show actually commenced. Luckily, modern gadget fans, I had my video iPod there.
You watched a movie. Did you catch a movie or episode of The Wire?
No, headphones in? Yeah. Children were watching some, you know, inappropriate movie action on there.
Oh, the whole family was watching the video?
Yeah.
Wow. So
it saved our bacon.
Barbican. How long's that on for?
Probably a couple of years. I mean, it's a successful production, a lot of talented people involved, and I would stress again that everybody else there was having a whale of a time. But I think maybe my family is kind of jaded by DVDs and stuff. Quite soon after the beginning of the production, my son Frank leaned over and said, "Dad, I wish I could watch Star Wars again." And I had to concur.
Listen, here's a session track, listeners. This is Everything But the Girl singing Lonesome for a Place I Know. This was recorded for Mark Goodyear on Radio 1 in 1988.
So here we are, and it's alone.
Everything But the Girl with Lonesome for a Place I Know, recorded in 1988 for Mark Goodyear. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Radio 6 Music.
Home of the number 6. Now, we were chatting about pantos just there before the session track, and Joe suddenly admitted that he had a little repressed memory that popped out.
A panto, it wasn't that long ago. I went to see a panto at the Royal Festival Hall, was it?
Hall?
It was Peter Pan. And it was designed by Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen.
Oh, you're obsessed with Llewellyn Bowen.
I do like that. He's a very nice chap.
Yeah, well, we worked with him, didn't we?
Exactly. He's a nice fellow. And I didn't go to see this because it was designed by Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen, but it was a kind of a Tony production.
What's a Tony production?
A Tony. That's like an American phrase for classy.
Oh, okay.
You know, a theatre phrase. So I went to see it, and what Llewellyn Bowen had done brilliantly was remove all the colour.
Right.
It was a black and white production. There was no colour in any of the costumes or the scenery.
Right.
No colour at all.
So it's all just white people as well.
White, sort of outline-y people.
Right.
Yeah, and it was really visually boring. Colourless.
Yeah.
And nobody flew in it until the very, very end, literally after the audience had finished the first round of applause.
So it was colourless right the way through. I thought you were going to say it was like an opening gambit to make it monochrome.
The whole thing, taking all the colour out.
Suddenly an explosion of colour like Pleasantville.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it was applying the logic of interior decoration to stage design.
Was this aimed mainly at adults?
There was an atmosphere of loathing in the auditorium. Boredom and loathing.
How long did that go on?
And then at the very end, Peter Pan... we were waiting for flying all the way through, and at the very end, Peter Pan sort of quite visibly strapped on a couple of wires and went about 2 metres off the ground, swung to the left a bit, and then swung back into the scenery and then went down again.
Oh, my Lord.
It was awful.
Were there risque jokes?
No. But you know what? When I get bored in the theatre, I don't know whether you find this or the listeners find this, you end up sort of looking at the bodies of the performers.
Definitely.
Do you ever find that? Your mind goes off the story, and you just... end up looking at the...
like pieces of meat.
Yeah. Parading for your pleasure. They can't look back. They're not allowed to say anything because that would break the fourth wall.
Well, because...
you can stare at any area you want. And often, if it's a production that involves tights, there'll be quite a lot of detail available for
the viewing. The theatre, for you, is like a kind of sex show, isn't it?
And for you.
It's like Amsterdam. It's like going to Amsterdam.
For you, for me, for everybody, let's face it.
A filthy performance in a little box.
Let's have some more music, listeners. This is Lauryn Hill with Doo-Wop, open brackets, that thing, close brackets.
No, actually, as it's written down, it's Doo-Wop T, open brackets, hat thing, close brackets. I think that might be a typo. That's the Yeah Yeah Yeahs with Gold Lion. And before that, you heard...
Lauryn Hill with Doo-Wop, Do That Thing.
That thing, that thing. That's two ladies in a row.
Yeah, it's a lady sandwich.
My favourite. Just before you carry on with what you were thinking, I just wanted to get something off my face. Katie Tunstall. You know Katie Tunstall, right? Is she very, very small? Or is it the guitar that's giant? Because you know she has a giant guitar. Is it? I'm just wondering, seriously.
Is she known to have an oversized guitar?
Well, that's what I can't quite tell. I can't tell if she's weenie.
Well, why would... I think, you know, Occam's razor and everything you were talking about the other week. The most logical explanation would be that she's small. Where would it get you in the business to just have a really large guitar?
Well, in the crazy world of pop, it might be some kind of gimmick, yeah.
Yeah, do you think? Wouldn't she push that a bit more?
I don't know, I saw her on Later with Jules Holland the other day, and she was dwarfed by this ludicrously enormous guitar. You would say tiny.
Yeah, famous people are usually very small.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, tiny.
That's true, isn't
Makes it cheaper to build sets around them. They, you know, eat less food.
Mm-hmm.
If they get shirty or bulshy in any way, they can be, you know, put down physically easier.
Yeah, you can transport more of them more
cheaply.
They
can go in the hold.
Yeah.
In kind of velvet-lined cases.
Bulk famous people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there you go. There's the answer to your question.
Thank you.
Now, listeners, as we've mentioned several times, this is a pre-recorded show, but that shouldn't stop us from making it feel as if it's a real show.
How are you going to do that?
By having a kind of imaginary Text the Nation.
Right.
So let's play the jingle.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
But don't text, listeners, because we're not actually here. But you can imagine you're texting, or you can just chat about this Text the Nation subject between yourselves.
Yeah. So this is a sort of virtual Text the Nation.
It's simulated. It's a placebo.
Is it, in fact, a test Text the Nation?
Yeah. It's a synthy test.
It's like a dry run.
Yeah.
A dress rehearsal for 2008.
Yeah, so please don't text. There's no one here to read them. But you can mind texting, you know, if you need some sort of business to keep you occupied. But were we to be live, we'd be asking you, or I'd be asking you, to text in on the following. I watched the new Bourne film again.
Yeah. Ultimatum Supremacy, which one? Ultimatum, isn't it?
I think so, the final one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was quite exciting. one of those films that wasn't quite as good the second time.
Oh, that's disappointing. I'm just about to get into my second watch with The Ultimatum.
You sort of see the tricks a bit more the second time.
Right.
You know, the shaky cam, the relentless drum beats.
Surely the long chase sequence with the book punching was still good, wasn't it?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
The set pieces are all fantastic. But I was, quite taken by the man. I don't know what the actor's name is, but he's the baddie man, and he's in the control room the whole time. Do you remember him? He's a bit like a sort of teacher. He keeps saying stuff like, "I want information, people."
Yes.
You know, in the little glasses, he's strutting up and down. There's him and there's the blonde lady and there's Brian Cox.
Yeah.
So it's not the blonde lady, it's not Brian Cox, it's him guy.
Although you do fancy Brian Cox.
I do.
A little bit.
What makes you say that?
Just being silly, sorry.
Yeah, he's a trashy. I was challenged there, Mike. Yeah.
You reacted quite well.
I did. What? He knows. I thought he knows.
He does fancy him.
So I was taken by the dialogue this man, it says, and the way he says it, he says stuff like we went in for a sneak and peek.
A sneak and peek?
Yeah, what do you think that means, sneak and peek?
That's like a recce, isn't it?
Exactly, they broke into his flat and they searched around. Yeah, we went in for a quick sneak and peek.
Sneak and peek. He says,
get me a tic-tac-toe.
Ooh.
Yeah, what would you do if he suddenly, you're in that control room at a computer and he said to you, get me a tic-tac-toe? What would you say?
I'd say I've got orange.
That's quite a good one.
Orange and lime, is that good? Or would you like mint?
Tic-tac-toe, it's like a tic-tac disease. Of the toes.
Of the toes, yeah.
Yeah, too many tic-tacs.
Yeah.
I've got tic-tac-toe.
I've got tic-tac-toes.
One of my toes is light green, the other one's orange.
And the other one's...
They're like tic-tacs.
White and minty.
That actually means elevations, like plans, elevations of a building.
Okay.
You can see it now, can't you? A grid.
Yes.
Yeah, give me a tic-tac-toe. He says, activate the asset. That's an easy one.
The asset.
You know what the asset is.
Oh, he's the assassin.
Yeah, the spy, exactly.
Right,
but that's something Bourne invented, isn't it? The use of the word asset.
Well,
but
I mean...
Part of the thrill of those movies is the weird words they use.
I guess that a lot of these terms are taken from the real security forces.
Possibly, or
right?
Made up. Possibly.
Maybe.
They say, release the funds.
Release the fun?
No, release the funds. That's a fun house phrase.
Yeah.
Release the funds. Someone said, release the funds to you. What would you think?
Release the funds. I would get onto the bank. I'd get onto the bank.
It's all terminology designed that if you're being the phone's being tapped, they won't know what you actually mean, right?
Yeah.
It's like if you're on a plane or in a shop, they've always got a code for the fire alarm.
Is it like your security code on the back of your credit card?
I think that one was just to release some funds, but I wrote it down anyway. And one more. He goes at one stage. Do a sub rosa collection of the bodies.
Sub rosa.
What does that mean? That's just Latin, isn't it?
Well, sub rosa does mean something, but I forget what, because it's between Christmas and New Year.
But my question would be, were we having Text the Nation, can you think of other phrases that could be applied in that way that sound as if they are very meaningful in a sort of spy and a complicated way? Do you know what I mean?
In science fiction films, they have lots of stuff like that. There's always a character that says things, we're locked and cocked, five by five, all green
so
on my screen.
What phrases are best under those circumstances? I thought of maybe, finish the mouthful. Finish the mouthful. Yeah?
Yeah.
Or what about, put the clothes in the tumble dryer. Get me clothes in that tumble dryer. Yeah?
Yeah.
That could mean something. What would that mean? Clothes in the tumble dryer. That means conceal the body.
Yeah.
Right? What about, what would the mouthful one mean? Finish the mouthful. That would mean, kill him. Polish him off.
Finish the mouthful.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So get thinking.
How about...
the next record.
Don't say it now.
Save it up.
Okay.
Save it up.
Oh my gosh.
Here's some music. This is Elvis Costello with Oliver's Army. That's Elvis Costello with Oliver's Army, a song whose existence I was first made aware of by the film E.T., by Elliot's older brother singing the lyrics there when he comes into the bedroom. Do you remember that?
He doesn't sing Oliver's Army.
Are you sure?
He sings Accidents Will Happen.
There's
so many people to see, so many people you can check upon and add
there
to your
collection.
There you go.
Wow, that's weak Elvis Costello information
shaky,
there. I've been fired.
Of McManus.
What have you been fired for? From Six Music for that.
Oh, you have.
For getting that wrong.
That's right. You know, the line that always sticks out in Oliver's Army for me is, Hong Kong is up for grabs, London is full of abs. I always think, hey.
Now you've been fired.
How does he know about abs from Five?
You've been fired.
For that.
Yeah,
for that.
Saying abs. It's simulated Text the Nation time again, listeners. Before that record, we were asking you whether you had any ideas for general things you say around the house that could also be applied to a high-tension scene in the Bourne Supremacy or Identity or Ultimatum. You've got to imagine a sweaty, evil government-type undercover man pacing around in a room full of assistants and laptops and screens with confusing maps on them, shouting commands at them, and he says stuff like, get me a tic-tac-toe, we went in for a sneak and peek, and stuff like that. Activate the asset, release the funds, put the clothes in the tumble dryer. Get me eyes on Landy, he said at one stage. That's a real one.
Get me eyes on Landy?
Get me eyes on Landy. That just means, can you get a video picture of Landy on the screen,
see,
please?
It took a lot longer for you to say that.
Absolutely, and it made me sound pathetic.
Yeah.
It undermined my authority, whereas, get me eyes on Landy.
Yeah, ooh.
Now, or what if I said, code 10 abort? Code 10 abort!
Oh, my goodness.
Would you say, what's that? Stop the code 10!
Yeah,
we know what abort means.
In that case, it's quicker just to say,
stop it! Stop that! Stop it! You'd have to go to the book and look up number 10.
Everyone, stop it! Stop
code
it!
One, code two.
Everyone!
Stop it! Just stop it. Everything.
Stop it!
Just be sure. So at one stage in the Bourne ultimatum, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Somebody says, somebody give me a visual! Yeah? I'd like to shout that more often, generally. Yeah. You know?
When would you say it in your
just
everyday
at any
life?
When ordering a sandwich. What sandwiches have you got? Well, we've got... Get me a visual.
Get me a visual.
You know? I just need it visually represented to me. I don't have time to listen to words.
Right. So if someone's talking about, like, a famous person or something, you just say, shut up, get me a visual.
Get me a visual, yeah. Not even the shut up. That's a waste of words.
What would you say for shut up?
Code 6, closure. Code 6 refers to the jaw area. yeah. Lock
down the mouth.
Yeah. Lock down the fangs.
Lock down the mouth. Give me a visual.
Join the fans. Join the fangs. Fans. Well, I can't talk. Go on. So you were, Adam, thinking of.
I've got
some phrases that could be used in the same way.
Who put the forks in the knife drawer?
That's good. The forks are in the knife drawer.
You know that means the mission's gone wrong.
Who put the forks in the knife drawer? That's true.
It's they've gone off the pattern.
Right. Right. You know? They've mixed the cutlery.
This is not the plan.
Yeah.
You know, you've deviated from set plan.
That's good.
Who put the forks in the knife drawer?
That's good. I like it.
Yeah.
More.
Get me some toilet paper!
That's good. That's the sort of thing in real life you might hear in a slightly panicked voice from behind a closed bathroom door.
That means the operation has gone totally wrong.
Yeah.
Totally. It's a total mess.
What are you actually asking for?
Get me some toilet paper!
Are you actually asking for something?
Toilet paper.
Toilet paper. I'm confused.
Here's another one. Can somebody feed the cat?
That's I like that one in particular. Yeah, that's my favourite of the three.
That goes both,
what does that mean?
It goes both ways. Because there's a cat in the operations room.
I'd say that one should be said more like, okay, gentlemen, let's feed the cat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's feed the cat. Who's going to feed the cat? Feed the cat. Yeah. I don't know what it means, but you could ease in some sort of a tense military situation. No one would question it.
Because at the very least, it gives somebody an excuse to leave the room.
The one I used to like, I was really impressed by when I was a kid, was swallow that puppy.
What's that?
I don't know. They say it in Top Gun, I think.
Swallow
in
that
some
puppy.
80s film, they say, swallow that puppy.
They never say
They do,
that.
I promise. I thought that was the most meaningful thing. Oh, wow. Can't wait to use that. never knew what it meant.
I've heard women referring to their assets as puppies before.
Maybe it was very dirty.
Maybe.
Music time, listeners.
I chose this one for you, listeners. I wonder if lots of other DJs have thought of playing this one. I bet they haven't, because I'm so clever and they're so stupid. But it's the Breeders with New Year. That was Source featuring Candy Staton with You Got the Love. Before that, you heard A Trail. Wasn't it fun? That was great. I love that trail. And before that, you heard my choice for you listeners, which was The Breeders with New Year. Because you see, in a couple of days' time, it will be the New Year. So I was thinking ahead about that, and that's the reason I chose
it. That's clever. That's good.
Song. Yeah, yeah. It's
always thinking.
All ties in, you see. It's like a theme song. Yeah. So we're Adam. I'm Adam Buxton. And, who are you?
My name's Jay Cornish.
Jay Cornish.
Mm.
The J-Man.
Yeah.
The J-Monster.
Jay Corn. That's my album. My hip-hop name is Jay Corn. My album will just have my face in an acorn.
Cornballs.
Cornballs. Well, yeah.
We've never been big on nicknames throughout our lives.
It's true.
You know, I always wanted a nickname.
Like a street name.
Yeah. You never had a nickname, did you?
I call you Mince.
Mince?
Yeah.
Why?
Don't know.
With a T or, like, mincemeat?
No, mince is wrong for you. What, you want kind of like a heart, like a tag?
Well, something real, like, that comes from my name, Adam Buxton. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never called, anything apart from Joe, were you?
Yeah, Joe's good enough. Joe sounds like a nickname.
Ads, people called me.
ADZ.
Yeah.
That's all right.
It's not bad, is it? I wouldn't mind something a little bit more flash.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Thanks.
I'll work on it during this next record.
Maybe some listeners could suggest some stuff. And when we come back next week, if you text during the week, then we can pick up those texts. I wouldn't mind a few little nickname suggestions. Don't just immediately suggest loads of offensive ones, okay? Because we won't read them out.
I'm hoping people will send in ideas for Bourne style lingo as well.
Absolutely.
That will be fun to read out on another show.
Yeah.
Here's the new Supergrass single. It's released on the 14th of January. It's only available on limited edition 7-inch and download, okay? So don't try getting it on a non-limited edition or what else? Or a single.
Could they get it on a memory stick?
Don't know.
No.
Don't know.
Because that's my favourite way of listening to music.
It's their 27th single.
Buying a memory stick. I love Supergrass.
This is called Diamond Hoo-Ha Man.
That's the mighty Supergrass with Diamond Hoo-Ha Man. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Just a reminder, listeners, that this show is pre-recorded.
Yeah. I just think we don't have to keep reminding them.
I feel like we do because it's the climate of fear.
Really?
At the BBC.
I think we should really make it totally clear in case people are just tuning in.
Yeah, because you can get done for anything these days.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There could be an Ofcom investigation like that.
This show is not live.
You know? It should be...
I'll just say that every now and then.
Exactly.
This show is not live.
Right the way through like a little bug. You know, sometimes if you watch a preview copy of a film, it says property of Warner Brothers. It's stamped across
there. Do not attempt to text or email this show. Live. This show is not live.
You see, I thought that maybe reminding them once in a while would be slightly less annoying than that.
Not live.
But maybe you're right.
This show is not live.
Maybe that's the way to go, yeah. It's difficult, though, to maintain any kind of dialogue when you're just saying that.
I can talk at the same time.
Can you?
Not live. This show is not live.
Can you tell them about the news in between that?
Yeah, here comes the news. Live. The news is live. Read by the newsreaders.
On digital radio and online. BBC Six Music.
Boy killed by Rottweiler. Parky gets...
La 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 la. La 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 la. Echo and the Bunnymen there with Silver. And before that, you heard Foals with Balloons. Is that correct?
Correct.
There we go. This is Adam and Joe.
Correct.
A very happy mid-seasonal celebration Saturday morning to all of our listeners. We hope you had a wonderful Christmas day and we'll have a marvellous New Year's business.
I got a Christmas card from someone. Well, I assume it was a Christmas card.
Mm.
It just had the number 8 on it. It was like a homemade card. But it was studiously, the whole point of the card was to avoid the issue of Christmas. So it didn't mention Christmas or any kind of...
Why did it say 8 on it?
Because it was like a limited edition. It was presumably the number. It was from an artist friend of mine.
Right. Are you sure? Not a serial killer.
No,
you're
no.
Not number 8 on some sort of list.
I'm pretty sure.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Tell us more about the card. And I'll tell you about the card. I'll tell you more about how you will be killed.
It just said inside, Happy Midwinter. And that doesn't
buried
sound...
in the snow.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
And then it said, "You will die, pig," at the bottom.
Really? So probably you'll be killed, and then you'll be fed to pigs.
Yeah. No, they didn't. It didn't say you will die, pig.
No.
It did say happy midwinter, and it was it sort of made it an issue for me. I was like, oh man, am I really? I suddenly thought about all the times that I'd mentioned Christmas to this person, and I was thinking, do I really offend them every time I mention, like, anything religious? Are they so anti-religious that they just don't want any mention of the word Christmas? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel as if I'm particularly religious, but I'm not offended when people talk about Christmas.
No. The world's gone PC mad.
It's gone PC mad.
Yeah. Listen, here's a track from Queen and David Bowie. You all probably know which one it is. The last time I sung this at karaoke, I sung it so well... everybody stopped and just stared and looked quite angry and bored.
Were you singing the Freddie Mercury parts or the Bowie parts?
Probably.
The whole thing?
I think the Bowie parts.
Right.
But, you know, karaoke's not for good singing.
No.
You know, people who sing well when you do karaoke, they're idiots.
It's a bit of a drag.
Do you know what I mean? You're supposed to sing badly or funnily.
Were you in the UK when you sang this?
I was, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But that's just a little anecdote. Really, really small one.
Can you do a little bit for us now? What's your favourite part of Under Pressure to Do?
I can't do it now. I've got a sore throat.
This is ourselves. Under pressure.
David Bowie and Queen with Under Pressure. Do you remember the video for that?
You know what? I don't think I do, really. What was it?
I think it was a performance thing. I might be wrong, but I've got an image in my head of people sat around a studio. Maybe I'm just imagining the Top of the Pops performance and Legs and Co. were just sitting down while they played it or something. I don't know.
It was from, was it from the album Hot Space?
Hot Space, yes, it was.
Is that a Queen album?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It had, was it on there? Or maybe it was a sort of stopgap single. I can't remember. Hot Space wasn't bad. It had, Give Me Your Body, Body Language. Body Language.
Wow.
That's my impression of the song.
That sounds like a great song. This is Adam and Joel on BBC Six Music. Happy Saturday morning. Hope everyone's had a lovely Christmas and all that. It's time for a little bit more music now. Here's Hot Chip with Ready for the Floor. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it,
do it. Ooh, it's a little abrupt there, isn't it?
What an extraordinary series of noises.
A bit rude.
A lot of those noises were created just with rubber bands, with stationery. Most of that song is actually played on stationery.
Is that a true fact?
No. Be good though, wouldn't it?
There's got to be a lot of songs that have that kind of percussion in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Like lo-fi, home-developed percussion.
Well, the Beatles. No, was it the Beatles or the Beach Boys? No, the Beach Boys used the sound of people eating vegetables as the percussion for one of their tracks called Vegetables.
Has anyone ever used the sound where you get a flexi ruler and put half of it off the desk?
Right.
Flip it, let it vibrate, then rotate it so that it's dampened.
You would think so. That was Hot Chip, incidentally, folks, in case you were wondering, with Ready for the Floor. And this is Adam and Joe here on Six Music. It's very hot in the studio today.
It's very hot, yeah. The air conditioning's broken. It's getting sexy. We're down to our undies.
It's a little bit soporific, though, when you get heat like this, especially when it's cold outside.
I'm not soporific.
And in this country, they can't handle... They can't get the balance right, you know what I mean? England is not equipped for any radical change of temperature, so as soon as it gets very parky, everybody just blasts the heat right up, you know? Like, I got on the train the other day, and it was so hot inside that carriage, and you'd come out and you're all wrapped up and freezing cold outside. You get in the carriage and it's like tropical heat. So you have to strip right down, and then the train gets there, you have to get up, you have to pull your clothes back on.
They should do, you know, like in sexy films, when somebody comes into a room, appears to be dressed in lots of clothing, but it's all got one zip on it.
Right.
And they take it off and then either naked or in their smalls.
Yeah.
They should sell clothes like that in
what
Britain.
Film has that been in?
One I got. I'll lend it to you.
Can I borrow?
Wouldn't that be great? And then so everyone goes on the tube or on their public transport system if they don't live in a city with a tube, and they unzip their things, and then it's just like Sexyville.
Little sexy time.
Yeah, and only sexy people would be allowed on.
Oh, well, that's no good for me, then.
It's good for me.
I dare say you as well, I was going to say.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Is it time for even more music?
Okay. Well, all right, yeah.
Here's some...
Seems a little...
You know, it's a new year for Amy Winehouse coming up. She's been in the papers a lot. The other week in The Guardian, there was an article about how she tries to avoid the paparazzi.
Right.
And it had a little vignette where Amy's walking along the street, she leaves her house, the paparazzi try to pap her, and two old ladies go, "Leave her alone! Leave her alone! How dare you leave her alone! She's just trying to lead her life!" And it describes how the two old ladies help Amy Winehouse into the newsagent out of the way of the paps. Then they go, "You all right, dear? You all right?" She goes, "Yeah, I'm fine. All right, can we have a picture?" And they ask her for her photo on their mobile phone.
Did she oblige?
Yes.
Well, that's all right. That's a happy story, isn't it?
What a terrible, hassled life, though.
Yes.
She must be leading at the moment.
No,
it can't be fun to be her.
Even by the old ladies.
You know, is she courting it?
Yeah.
Has she asked for it? Does she deserve it? Or is it a terrible albatross around her neck? Text the message board with your thoughts on that. Here's Amy Winehouse with Stronger Than Me.
Well done.
Well done, Amy. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Very good. Something to drink?
No, sorry. I shouldn't have asked you that. Just have some water.
Awkward.
How awkward.
How very awkward.
That was Amy Winehouse. That was a session recorded for Six Music on the 2nd of November 2003. Wow.
What a year, early Winehouse. I can't remember anything about 2003.
No, 2003, we were just partying. We were raving all year long, that's why. We were
spending all the cash that we got from that advert.
Yeah, exactly.
We pretty much didn't do anything that year.
Yeah, thanks, Surf Automatic. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music.
Now, this next track, listeners, is a punk classic, and it's one that's close to my heart because I spent absolutely hours learning this, because I can play this on my guitar. It's a four-chord wonder.
Right.
Richard Hell and the Voidoids with Blank Generation, but it's got very difficult lyrics to learn, you know, because they don't necessarily scan. They're brilliant lyrics.
The lyrics sont magnifiques.
And I remember seeing him just reciting the lyrics on some punk documentary, and they just got him to sit down and recite them like a poem, you know? I was saying, let me out of here, before I was even born. It's such a gamble when you get a face. It's fascinating to observe what the mirror does. When I die, it's to the wall that I set my face. I belong to the blank generation. And on he went like that. It was sort of good, but the song's a bit better. Here's Richard Hell and the Voidoids.
Dex's Midnight Runners with Dance, Stance, or Dance, Stance, depending on which part of the country you come from.
Yeah.
Yeah? Welcome to our, kind of last hour of our Saturday morning show, listeners. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We're going to be back with you again on New Year's Eve from 7 to 10 in the evening.
I thought we weren't going to tell people about that.
I've done it now.
Have you?
We're leading into the Queens of Noise, who are going to present a kind of a barnstorming, DJ-type set to take you right up to the big hour, the moment when the world changes.
Yeah.
It's a fresh start for everybody.
Absolutely.
New celebrities.
Turning up.
New TV shows.
Absolutely.
New clothes. New words.
Exciting.
New haircuts.
New fashions.
New fashions. New snack products.
Have you got the fashion news for 2008?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Bomber jackets.
Bomber jackets.
Yeah.
Are they back?
One leg short, one leg long.
Right.
On the, trousers. They're called shrousers.
Yeah, yeah.
roller skates.
Right.
A back.
You know what I heard is in?
What's in?
Flared nostrils.
Really?
Yeah.
Just flaring them the whole time?
No, little rings.
Really, to push the nostrils
to
out?
To keep them flared.
Really?
Yeah, and then by September, they're going to be right out. And then drainpipe nostrils are going to be in.
I've heard pleating, growing a beard, pleating it, growing the pubic hair, pleating it, and pleating them both together so they link in the middle.
Thank goodness, because I've been doing that for years. And
that's going to be huge. Well, you're ahead of the trend. Ahead of
it
the
was
curve,
come
on top
back
of the ball.
In style, yeah.
You're on top of the ball.
That's excellent.
Yes. Time for more music now. Is this Stars with the Night Starts Here?
I love Stars with the Night Starts
It is,
here.
Yeah.
Starts here, the night starts here. Forget your name, forget your fear. You drop a coin into the sea and shout out.
Wow, there you go. Stars with the Night Starts Here. What an extraordinary sort of record. Very pictorial lyrics there. A man driving a car into the sea.
Yeah.
And then turning back.
It's amazing what you can do with words, isn't it?
It is. Describe scenes and things. But that sounds like an 80s record.
It does, doesn't it? It sounds like, do you know what it reminds me of? The kind of song that would pop up on a soundtrack to a very, very bad film.
Yeah, or if you were quite young and were listening to it on your headphones, you could really imagine that life was a film.
And
you
I'm not
a bad film.
I'm not damning the song by saying it would pop up on one of those bad soundtracks, but sometimes you can get quite a good soundtrack to a very bad film.
Mm.
Like, do you remember the film Cool World?
Yeah.
Sort of half animated, half real.
Mm. Ralph Bashke business. That
yeah, was, yeah, right? Yeah. And there was a brilliant Brian Eno, a couple of excellent Brian Eno songs, which I believe sort of first appeared on that album.
You went all
well. I'm very, very soulful, and sometimes that happens to me. And there was a couple of good, like there was an original Bowie track for that one. Do you remember Real Cool World?
Yeah,
Bowie. Quite enjoyed
He's always
that
popping
one.
Them out for the movies.
He loves popping them out for the movies, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yes. So Adam, just a quick bit of advert-related info. How, what distance do you like your flakes to be visible from?
Well, the flake is a very visible bar because of the yellow wrapper.
No, you've misunderstood me. Oh. Your dandruff flakes.
Oh, I see.
What distance do you like them visible from?
I'd rather they weren't visible.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you be interested in a product which claims to make your flakes invisible, but that claim is based on visibility of flakes when seen from a distance of 2 feet.
Oh, I see.
Would you be interested in that? Have you seen that advert for the, I don't know whether you've seen it, listeners, for an anti-dandruff shampoo, and it says at the bottom of the screen, claim based on visibility of flakes when seen at distance of 2 feet.
No way.
Yeah.
You'd have to have giant flakes, wouldn't you?
Oh, you mean, right.
Two feet.
Without the...
Am I 2 feet from you now? Yes, I am.
Probably more. I'd say that was 3 to 4 feet. A foot is the length of a ruler. A standard ruler, 30 centimetres.
Well, if you did have severe dandruff, I would be able to see it at 2 feet.
Do you think?
Yeah.
No, but this, not if I used this stuff.
Well, no, hopefully not.
Yeah, but if you came closer than 2 feet, the flakes would begin to appear.
Yeah.
So it's good for first date stuff, isn't it? Because he's not going to come too close, or she.
No.
But then, if it gets down to the nitty-gritty, it's lights-off time.
Yeah, but they're saying, listen, we can control very big dandruff, but we can't guarantee to control, like, micro-dandruff.
So for this product to be useful to you, you'd have to have really big flakes.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think, well, yeah, quite big flakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like cornflakes.
They're quite big as flakes go.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah. It just conjures up interesting images of, like, dates and dancing on the dance floor. Every time he comes closer than 2 feet, you integrate a little shove into your routine.
Right.
Just to keep him at bay.
Well, you know, the other thing, if you couldn't afford the shampoo in question, would just be to tell people to stay 2 feet away from you at all times.
Or just to stink slightly.
Right.
To encourage flatulence and just have a cloud of stench around you.
You could wear like a hoop, you know, with a strap around your shoulders to keep people more than 2 feet away from you at all times.
This is a very good idea.
If you didn't want to buy the shampoo.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Thank you. Oh, I chose this song. Look, I just looked at the coming up next screen. I hope you enjoy this one, folks. I've actually chosen a lot of old music this week. And, you know, usually I like to unveil some really hot happening underground music stuff, Joe, because that's kind of
sure you do
person I like. But this week I seem to have delved into the old bucket. And here's a very old bucket indeed, Neil Young with Cinnamon Girl. Oh, my gosh.
The Beastie Boys, an irresponsible band from New York who are going around encouraging kids to steal the badges off VW Volkswagens and wearing them round their necks on a chain.
Was it the illegal actions of the Beastie Boys and their VW badge-stealing antics that caused Mercedes to actually invent badges that retreated into the hood of the car?
Rolls-Royce did that, I think. They used to have a, what she called, the Silver Lady, or whatever she's called. That they had a special Rolls-Royce where the where she went inside. I'm not sure VW did. Or maybe lots of cars.
No, I don't know about VWs, because they never had a badge that
maybe BMWs.
Out. But Mercedes, possibly, you know, the Benz, because a lot of rappers used to wear the Benz logo on their neck.
But they're a disgrace, the Beastie Boys, and they must be kept out of Britain. Keep the sick rappers. It's not even musical. No. They just talk.
They just shout.
What's what happened to Melody?
They just shout. And you know,
they're posh as well.
Yeah.
They're Ivy League educated, so they're not from the street.
They're trust fund kids.
They'll never get anywhere.
They have women in cages.
Do they?
At their shows.
That's disgusting.
Women
with Uzis.
In cages. No, I think that's Public Enemy.
Oh.
But,
well, they should be stopped. Quick, stop them before they become famous.
For goodness sake.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Thanks for joining us. We hope you're recovering from your festive overload. Everyone listening will probably be feeling quite bloated. So do take a macrobiotic yogurt drink for that.
It's difficult, especially in the winter as well, because is it true to say that your body naturally bulks up a little
yours
bit
does.
Anyway?
That's true.
Because of the cold weather.
Yeah, you actually get, if you go outdoors and come indoors, you get condensation on the inside of your body.
Right.
And that can cause two farting. There we go.
Dr. Cornish.
Dr. Cornish. Right, let's have a little more music. Then I'd like to make some predictions for the television in the new year.
Very exciting. Here's a good song. This is a song that very much inspired the band Blur, I would venture.
Are you guessing, or do you know that?
I'm pretty sure. I mean,
you're guessing.
Well, I'm sort of guessing, but it's everything you need to know about mid-period Blur.
Like really?
A little character sketch, very well observed, with an excellent quirky little melody. I'm talking about Pink Floyd with Arnold Lane.
Arnold Lane had a strange
stuff. That's Pink Floyd with Arnold Lane. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music on Saturday, the 28th of December, 2007.
Before we heard that record, Adam was saying that he thought there was, you know, a little nugget of inspiration for Blur in that Pink Floyd track.
Yeah, you can hear the Damon Albarn-isms of mid-period Blur in there, very even to the vocal style, I would say.
Speaking of Blur, I've been interested in watching E4, you know, the Channel 4 cable channel.
What?
Yeah, it's a new channel. They've got a show on called, I think it's called Mobile Unsigned. It's kind of like the X Factor for indie bands.
I've seen it.
They repeat it on the main channel, I think.
Alex Zane presents it.
Alex Zane presents it. And it's a kind of indie X Factor style competition between credible young bands.
Yeah.
The judges are Joe Wiley and some bloke from some record company.
Right, I've seen him sort of saying, if none of these bands is successful, then I've totally wasted my time and the reputation of my company will lie in tatters.
Exactly. He's judge number two, and judge number three is Alex James from Blur.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see that kind of format, taken and try, they've tried to make it as cool as possible.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So there's an atmosphere in the show of just embarrassment at and discomfort at the whole proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because anyone with any sense of reality would kind of realise that those competition shows are pretty stupid.
They're inherently uncool, of course.
Yeah, and of course, so like a good band that gets respect from the music papers would never come into the scene on a show like that, would they?
No, exactly.
It's but the
like
people that designed the show are aware of that credibility problem, so they've done everything they can to shore it up against it. You know, Alex Zane presenting, he's cool.
He is cool. He's a good-looking, sexy little man.
Yeah, the credible people on the panel.
Yeah.
Wiley, she knows what she's talking about.
You
Alex
think
James knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
But some of the bands find it very difficult to kind of respond in the right sort of a way in some of the VT packages. Yeah, when we came onto this show, we thought it was stupid, load of rubbish. Then we thought, cool, you know, if it gets us attention, you got to get out there any way you can. And then they kicked us off. We thought, oh, it's rubbish. But then they invited us back on. And we thought, oh, cool, you know, that sort of business.
Yeah.
They keep kicking people off and getting them back on again.
Right.
Giving people last-minute reprieves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's one of the latest mechanics in those shows, right?
To mess with their heads.
To mess with their heads, yeah. Then they had professional musicians giving them advice the other week.
Yeah.
Some bloke from the Wannadies, was it? Someone like that.
Pear from the Wannadies?
Maybe. I don't know. But it's a peculiar show.
Yeah.
And do you think the band that will win it could get anywhere?
Well,
you've got to be nice. You've got to be charitable, haven't they? If they're a good band, then they're good regardless of how they were launched.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean,
would you find that a problem buying a record by an album that had won like an E4 talent competition?
I'd find it a problem buying a record by an album. I think it would just be so difficult for the album itself to become animated to the extent that it could produce the record.
Fair point.
There might be something about it in the news.
I was really trying to speak then. I made one mistake. I kept the words going in an order that made sense for minutes.
I'm really sorry.
And then I had one little slip.
I'm sorry, man.
And that was it.
It's so hot in here.
Let's have some Blondie.
Blondie with Rip Her to Shreds.
They made a mistake in the whole West End musical game, didn't they?
What?
There's a West End musical called Desperately Seeking Susan
that
uses Blondie music.
That's right.
What a miscalculation.
Listen, there might be a story about this in the news.
You're right.
On digital radio and online, BBC Six Music.
Boy killed by pet dog.
Jack Peñate with Have I Been a Fool. Hey, this is Adam and Joe here on Six Music. Almost the end of the year, folks. It's almost over.
That's it. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, because, you know, you've only got a couple more days left. Incidentally, we'll be with you on New Year's Eve here on Six Music to take you through from 7 o'clock till 10 p.m. And after us, there's the Cheeky Girls with their New Year's Eve celebration.
They're called the Queens of Noise.
They're like the Cheeky Girls, though, aren't they?
They are. They're kind of like the indie version of the Cheeky Girls.
They're very attractive, the Cheeky
they
Girls.
They are. And so are the Queens of Noise.
Yeah, they are.
Mmm.
Ooh.
Hello.
Steady.
So, TV chat time. I've been worried this year, 2007, and far be it from me to open up another can of TV controversy worms.
Mmm, I love TV controversy worms, though.
I've been worried that some of my favourite reality shows are becoming self-aware. Do you know, like when a computer becomes sentient?
Right.
The people who take part in these shows are aware of the format, and they're playing up to them.
Oh, that's been happening for years.
Has it?
Surely.
I've been getting into Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares. Do you ever watch that?
No, I'm not down with
Ramsay. It's very, very good.
Is it?
Yeah. He takes restaurant that's going wrong.
Yeah.
And he visits it, and it's always a disaster.
Yeah.
The people are nutty, the kitchen's a mess, the food's horrible, and it always sort of revolves around some delusion that the owner's got based on an experience in his past.
Right.
Or some sort of psychological thing that one can often learn from.
Yeah.
In terms of ambitions and delusions and stuff. Ramsay swears at them.
Uh-huh.
He takes the mickey, he provokes them, he prods them. Brilliant TV, they get furious. Then he introduces a special Ramsay menu. He makes over the pub. He launches a special... It's always the same every week. He does a special, some sort of parade down the main square so all the villagers know about the new restaurant. And then it's a triumph.
Right.
It's always a triumph.
It's like Ratatouille.
Fine. And yeah, the people make up, the rats run the restaurant.
Yeah.
But the more I've watched this, the more it seems that the participants know... That's the lay of the land.
They know the roles they have to play.
They know that the restaurant has to look a bit disastrous.
Yeah.
And it's beginning to be a bit contrived. Now, you quite rightly said that you think people just know this. This is a kind of accepted part of viewing.
You would think so.
Like Wife Swap, I've noticed it in.
Yeah.
How clean is your house? I don't think those houses are that dirty until the camera crew announce they're going to come round.
Oh, really, yeah.
I think they muck them up.
Yeah.
A whittle here. A pop there, you know, use the sink as a toilet for a couple of weeks before yeah. Kim and Aggie come.
It would be sort of liberating in a way, wouldn't it?
It would. It would be almost be worth, if you've got a normal house,
yeah.
Just live like a happy tramp for a week.
Exactly.
And get on telly.
Presumably they give you a little bit of money for doing the show.
I think we should set up a restaurant.
This is a good idea.
And it would be awful.
Yeah.
And we would not get on. There'd be arguments.
Right.
It would stink, the food would be awful. Then get on the phone, call Ramsay.
We could make a little bit of money. This is a good idea.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then, we'd play along. At the end, we'd hug and stuff.
Mm.
And then we'd be back on telly.
Hug and Stuff would be a good name for
restaurant. That's what the restaurant's called,
yeah.
Hug and Stuff.
Uh-huh.
We'd be on telly, we'd have a successful restaurant.
Yeah.
Gordon's dishes are very simple, it wouldn't be much work.
I'm really excited about Hagen Stuff, because it sounds a little bit like Haagen-Dazs, so it's a sort of successful, you know...
Do you know what? It's not even a restaurant. It's just a happy shop.
Exactly. You come
people
in...
People hug you.
And here's the problem with Hagen Stuff.
What?
We stink.
Do
so
we?
We smell. Because
really?
We're not properly clean, we're not, you know, we don't wash
this
enough.
This is the problem before the...
Yeah, before Ramsay gets there.
Act one.
This is the problem that Ramsay would identify.
So he just deodorizes us.
He says, look, you're getting people in off the street, you're promising them hugs and stuff.
Off the effing street, you
off the effing street, you silly effer. But you effing
That's
smell.
That's a load of BS.
Yeah, exactly. You silly C
word. S-H-1-T.
Did he say the C word?
No.
No.
And when he does, he means custard.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Just sensorising. That's the C word in Ramsay's world. It's custom.
Anyway, lots of exciting ideas there for me and Adam in the new year.
You guys stink. You need some deodorant.
You effing BSers.
Hugging Stuff's never going to happen unless you learn how to wash properly.
Hugging Stuff. We're going to copyright that, by the way, during this next record. This is one of my choices. It's a hip-hop band from the past called The Far Side. This is called Passing Me By. There's The Far Side with Passing Me By, all the way from 1993.
Now, Fatlip was in Far Side, right?
Yeah, and Fatlip, he's brilliant. And if you go on the Spike Jonze DVD, the big, the director's set, there's a set of DVDs by some of the world's greatest pop video directors. And Spike Jonze did one, and there's a brilliant documentary that Spike Jonze did with Fatlip. Did I say Jones?
Yes, you did.
There's a brilliant documentary that Spike Jonze did with Fatlip, and it's all about him leaving that band.
Right.
And having a bit of a mental breakdown.
That's right.
Copping off with a lady of the night who turned out to be a fella of the night.
Yeah.
Getting horribly teased. The Far Side split. But Fatlip did release a solo album that's brilliant. It's called The Loneliest Punk.
And that
it was only released in the US.
Oh, right.
And you can get it on, obviously, Amazon.com. But if you're a fan of Far Side and you haven't checked out Fatlip's solo album, The Loneliest Punk, well worth... maybe you can download it off of the iTunes, I don't know.
Yeah.
But well worth checking out.
Yeah. He's good, man. He's wicked. That's what people say, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
He's wicked. You know, one of the things we were talking about the pantomime the other day, they'd absorbed loads of humorous cultural reference points.
Yes, pop culture references.
Yeah.
It's an important element, aspect of Panto. You can sort of get a feel for, you can take the nation's comedy pulse by the stuff that seeps into Panto.
Like a couple of years ago, or maybe just a year ago even, it would have been loads of Little Britain references. But in the Panto this year, it was like one of the big jokes was having the fairy godmother be talking very posh, but then kind of drop into street slang in it. A little bit like the Armstrong and Miller sketch, you know, with the posh...
Oh, do you think?
Yeah, I would say almost certainly they nicked it off there.
That's just illustrating the schizophrenic nature of modern Britain, with half the population speaking posh,
yeah,
the other half speaking a kind of Jamaican kind of slang.
That's right.
And there's no in-between anymore.
No, no.
No.
But it's beautifully illustrated, of course, by the Armstrong and Miller
sketch. Yeah, that's a good sketch.
It's as good as it gets as an illustration goes.
Hey, this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Here's a little more music, you know, because that's what the station's all about. This is New Order with World.
That's New Order with World, The Price of Love. It feels as if you couldn't really bring out a new song that was as upbeat as that nowadays. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that's obviously nonsense, but it's so shiny and special, that song. When did it come out? Like, early 90s, that one?
1993, the same year as the Far Side record we played before it.
There you go. It was a more hopeful time.
It was before the world changed, Adam.
Changed forever.
Changed forever.
On that fateful day.
On the fateful day. That.
Take that split.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Time for this from Adam.
Oh, yeah, well, I just noticed that I didn't choose this, but I'm very happy to see it here. It's a session track from John Cooper Clarke. He's fantastic. If you've never investigated John Cooper Clarke, I would strongly recommend that you do. A poet, a kind of punk poet, I suppose, from Manchester. And the very first of, well, not a particularly long line, but do you remember, who was the guy, Murray Lachlan Young, was that his name?
Don't know.
He was supposed to be turning poetry into rock and roll for a while in the early 90s, I think, and it was supposed to make it sexy again, make poetry sexy, but it didn't really work. But John Cooper Clarke, I reckon, did make it sexy. And
I can make poetry sexy.
Go on, make some poetry sexy right now.
I'll do it during the song.
You can't do it.
I'll write a sexy poem.
Are you going to write a sexy poem?
Yeah.
Finish the whole show with your sexy poem.
What rhymes with legs?
Okay, while Joe's composing his sexy poem, here is
Pegs.
John Cooper Clarke with a poem about readers' wives. Like, it's a poem about something dirty, but he makes it brilliant using his brain. Check it out.
Negs.
Make a date with the brassy bride.
That was John Cooper Clarke with Reader's Wives. That was recorded for a John Peel session way back in October 1978.
I finished the poem.
Oh, excellent. I was hoping you might.
You were challenging me to make poetry sexy. Are you ready?
Yeah.
She was a sexy woman. Her body was all nice. Sexy legs and sexy face and sexy breast twice.
That was nice. I thought you were going to talk about the legs.
No, I couldn't think of a rhyme better than Pegs. That wasn't as good. You know, I scrapped a lot of versions.
That's lovely. Is that almost a haiku?
Probably not.
Sexy breast. Twice.
I don't know. Hey, listen, thanks very much for listening this week, everybody. Are we going to have one more record before we go?
I think we should do, shouldn't we?
I think we should.
It's been a little bit rambly and shambolic more than usual this week.
Everyone's tired after the Christmas period.
Yeah.
Our audience's brain cognitive functions will be impaired, so actually we purposely made this show a little more ramshackle just to fit in with them.
Yeah? Yeah, exactly.
Get where I'm
going. The nation's brainwaves.
The nation's brainwaves, exactly. That's the thing about our show. It's all very, very tightly scripted. but we'll be back with you live properly next week with a proper Song Wars. The theme of Song Wars is going to be jingles. No, ringtones.
Ringtones. We're going to make a million.
So they'll be short but incredibly powerful.
But until then, here's some more music. And it is The Champ by The Mohawks.
Hey, thanks for listening and we're sorry.